This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, now to kick off our presentation, I would like to introduce Rob Chapman, who is a senior social science analyst with the COPS office and the CPSAT project manager for the COPS team. I can honestly say that neither the CPSAT nor this webinar would be available without Rob's interest and involvement in this project since its inception over 8 years ago and his unwavering commitment to support our law enforcement community. So without further ado, Rob?
Great. Thanks, Daniel. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me just first say that in the spirit of honesty, I did not have an apple for lunch, but now I feel like I need to eat a little healthier. So on behalf of the Department of Justice, COPS Office, and our project partner, ICF International, we'd just like to thank everyone again for participating in the webinar. We're going to be providing an overview of this resource that the COPS Office has underwritten and made available to all of our hiring grantees. And, again, the resource is called the Community Policing Self-Assessment Tool. Before I begin, I just want to say that it's our goal with the COPS Office to provide whatever resources we can to our grantees to help you guys meet your needs and reach your community policing implementation objectives. That often takes the form of our hiring grants. But we also do offer lots of other resources like the CPSAT. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is what we refer to in shorthand as the CPSAT or the Community Policing Self-Assessment Tool. We're making this available free of charge to all of our grantees, and today we're just going to describe a little bit about how it works and the benefits we think that this tool can provide. So, Daniel, if you want to switch the slide, please. Thanks. So here you'll see an overview of the webinar structure, and I won't touch on each of these slide topics because we're going to be going through them, but essentially during the webinar, we'd like to give you an idea of the types of activities and the perceptions that the CPSAT, which is essentially a self-assessment survey, the types of activities and perceptions that are captured, what the process entails for agencies that choose to administer the CPSAT, and we now have the experience of over 600 agencies that have administered it within their agencies. So, We know a lot about sort of how it runs. We want to touch on what we think you guys can get out of it if you indeed decide that it would be a resource that would be of value to you. And then finally, we'd like to touch briefly on some of the things we've learned about community policing implementation across the country as a result of working with agencies in virtually every region and every type of agency. And that'll be towards the end of the presentation. Daniel, you can thank you. So here's our project team, and I won't go into really much detail at all other than to say that we're really proud of the caliber of the team that was assembled, developed, tested, and implemented the CPSAT. ICF International is our agency, and they have a lot of experience over the years and technical expertise in developing and administering organizational assessments such as this, not just for law enforcement agencies, but across other disciplines as well. You folks might also be familiar with the Police Executive Research Forum. They are not just a membership organization of law enforcement executives, but they've also done a lot of groundbreaking work on various policing topics for over 30 years. And PERF served as our substantive and content experts, and they were one of our project partners. Finally, just throughout the project, the knowledge and expertise of literally dozens of law enforcement practitioners from all levels, applied policing researchers, and then we also field tested the CPSAT law enforcement agencies across the country of various types and sizes. So all that's just to say that we really believe that we had the right team in place to develop what is an unprecedented resource, and we're really excited to provide this to you guys and your colleagues across the country. And here is just to give you a quick overview of the foundation of the CPSAT. I won't really talk about the definition of community policing. That'll come later in the webinar. But what we used to develop the CPSAT was a fairly straightforward definition of community policing, in that it operationalized the three commonly accepted elements of community policing. That is partnerships and collaboration, problem solving, and organizational change. And we turn these into tangible and specific behaviors and activities that can occur at various levels and functions of an agency, as well as it captures the perceptions of beliefs and beliefs about policing practices. And so So what that does is it allows us to provide a comprehensive picture of community policing practice based on the subjective process that we've set up, and it allows agencies to assess where they are in their implementation of community policing with respect to where they desire to be. Now, that last part's important because I just want to emphasize that this is not designed to be a scorecard. Each agency gets a final report that summarizes the results, but there isn't any expectation that agencies should be doing all or even most of the things that are captured by the CPSAT if those things aren't important to your agency. So in that sense, it really is a self-assessment tool, and then you're able to interpret the results based on your own organizational priorities and prerogatives. Finally, I just mentioned the folks who developed the CPSAT and the tremendous knowledge and expertise that was brought to bear. I just want to talk about our goals for 1 second. Our goals when we started out on this project were to develop something that would essentially provide the equivalent of what really is a management study on community policing implementation and practice, and we provide that free of charge. And the results of that work are scientifically sound, which is important in that there is really a strong foundation and basis for you to take the results and act upon them. And then we wanted it to be user-friendly enough so that it was something that wouldn't be difficult or time-consuming for agencies to undertake. So that ended up being a lot to balance, but I think we were successful in doing that, and at this point I'm going to turn it over to ICF and they can talk exactly how we went about making that happen.
Thanks, Rob, for that introduction and background. I'm going to now provide an overview of the CPSAT. It is a...
3-9 out of Central Falls.
Sorry, if you could mute your phone so that we do not have that traffic, that'd be great. Thank you. The CPSAT is a web-based survey that takes less than 15 minutes on average for participants to complete. It is an agency-wide survey, so participants include sworn staff at all levels, civilian staff who work on community partnerships and or problem solving, and representatives from community partners who are knowledgeable about the agency and how it interacts with partners. So the data collected through the CPSAT essentially provides a 360-degree-like perspective of your agency's community policing. The questions asked on the CPSAT are tailored to the specific participant type. So as you can see, the command staff, they have 87 questions. Those are a little more high level than the questions that would be asked of officers and or civilians. The community partners, they have the shortest section of the CPSAT with just 19 questions. The Spanish translation of the entire tool is, including the community partner section, is available as well. And then lastly, confidentiality of participant data is of great importance to the COPS office as well as ICF International. So I want to make sure it's clear that all CPSAT responses are anonymous and that the data collection process provides no way to identify which participants completed the CPSAT.
Will you help me?
Additionally, there are no individual identifiers in the data, and no one, for example, the agency, the COPS office, or ICF International, will be able to link an individual's data to their name, email address, or other personally identifiable data. The CPSAT modules, Rob touched on these a little bit. Since community policing broadens the nature and number of police functions compared with traditional policing through its emphasis on organizational transformation, proactive collaboration, problem solving, and external partnerships in order to address the issues that concern both the police and community members, we've developed the CPSAT to measure these three key components, which include community partnerships, problem solving, and organizational transformation. In terms of administering the CPSAT, next couple of slides we'll talk about the process for participating. So we have administered the CPSAT to over 50,000 participants over the past 2 years. So you guys have the benefit of participating after we've removed all the initial kinks and really implemented a smooth, efficient process that makes the administration incredibly easy on the agency's behalf. There are really only two simple steps involved with administering the CPSAT. And as you'll see on the next slide, our administration team will be doing most of the work for you, really to alleviate any burden on your agency's resources. So the first step involves selecting a key contact for the agency and registering for the next administration period. The key contact can be really any staff member at the agency and personnel commonly identified from agencies that have administered have included the chief or sheriff. Again, please mute your phones so I'm not interfering and fighting for voice. So common key contacts include the chief or sheriff, his or her assistant or deputy, personnel in the agency's strategic research or planning department, or even a grant manager. We have more participants logging in. The second step involves preparing for the administration period. This includes compiling an email list of your agency's participants and adapting the template invitation and reminder email drafts, which our administration team will develop for you, and sending the emails to participants on the designated dates. On this slide here, we talk about what our administration team will be providing for you. Arguably, we have the best administration team in the country and certainly the best CPSAT administration team in the world. But in all seriousness, since, you know, there is only one CPSAT administration team, as I hope you experienced with your webinar registration experience, we have a very responsive team that has been set up to support your agency throughout the administration process, and we're available to answer any questions and provide support from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. As you might have noticed in the emails that have been provided to you, we also have a CPSAT hotline, which is accessible via email or telephone. For you to contact us at any time with questions, technical issues, or general feedback, and we will respond. As I mentioned before, we will do almost everything for you to make it as easy as possible on your agencies. We provide the key contact with the template invitation and reminder emails, and we'll even send that key contact the reminders to send out those emails. Once the administration period begins, we'll begin tracking the administrating agency's response rates and follow up with the key contact if their agency has a low response rate to identify possible factors and then develop solutions for increasing that. For example, most of the time when we identify an agency that has zero responses after the third or fourth day of the administration period, it's typically because the key contact was out of town when the administration period began, and when they got back to their desk, they had all these emails and tasks to catch up on, and they just forgot to send out the invitation email. Rarely does an agency have a low response rate after 2 weeks of the administration, but when that occurs, we are flexible and able to make accommodations, such as extending the administration deadline. We will also generate an agency summary report and provide that to the agency's chief or sheriff, as well as the key contacts shortly after the administration period ends. This slide just shows, as I mentioned, we had developed templates for the agency's key contact to use as the invitation and reminder emails. So really the only thing left for the key contact to do is update the red text that you see in this email before sending it out to their participants. On this slide, you can see the format of the CPSAT, which is what a participant will see when they take the survey online. We do have complete PDF copies of the CPSAT with all the items, so we can send those upon request, and they identify the specific questions that are asked of the various stakeholder types. As I mentioned, at the end of the administration period, the final step in the process involves our team generating an agency-specific summary report. After an agency completes its first administration, the agency's key contact and chief executive will receive that summary report, which, as the name implies, provides a summary of the agency's data in a user-friendly format. Agencies also have the option to administer the CPSAT a second time. Agencies that do choose to complete a second administration will be provided with a pre-post summary report at the end of their second administration. This report summarizes the agency's data for the two administrations, as well as presents benchmark data from other agencies that are identified as similar based on specific criteria that include sworn staff size, population of the, in the communities that are served, and the specific agency type, for example, police, sheriff, municipal government, or tribal. Based on the feedback we received from agencies that have already administered the CPSAT, there's been a strong desire to access the benchmark data after completing the first administration. So our administration team is in the process of revising the agency summary report, and that should be completed prior to the end of our next administration period, which is on August 20th. So if you elect to do that, administer then, you would be able to receive the benchmark data after your first administration. On this slide, there are three screenshots of the summary report, and these reports are broken down into three sections. As you see in the first screenshot, number one, the report first presents the summary score for each section within the CPSAT. In screenshot number two, it is an example of the middle sections of the report, which examine those scores, the scores within each section, in a little greater detail. As you can see, there's the average line officer score with first line supervisor score, command staff, and civilian staff. In screenshot number three, the end of the report includes an appendix, and this displays the average ratings on each question asked within the CPSAT. The information on these reports help the agency assess the extent to which the community policing philosophy has been implemented throughout the agency, and the data can be used to in identifying its community policing strengths as well as areas for improvement. It can be used in strategic planning, understanding perceptions of community partners, and identifying any discrepancies of community policing perceptions among stakeholder types. And lastly, as you can see, the data are reported in aggregate to each agency at the agency level. So again, no individual responses are reported. Additionally, the CPSAT modules and subsections are broken down by staff type when a sufficient number of responses are collected. So to help protect respondent confidentiality, any individual item or subsection where fewer than three responses are collected will not be displayed on the agency's report. On this slide, we have the example of the pre-post summary report. So if your agency chooses to participate in a second administration, this is an example of what the report they'll receive looks like after their second administration. This report includes the same three subsections or sections as the summary report, but it currently differs in that it provides pre-post data which data collected through the first and second administrations. And that can be used in tracking implementation of community policing, and also differs in that it already shows the benchmark data, which provides an agency with a greater context for community policing. On this slide, we have the benefits, which there are a lot of benefits and reasons for your agency to consider administering the CPSAT. As a CHIRP grantee, your agency has the access to this valuable resource for free. The COPS office has is covering the costs associated with this webinar, the administration of the CPSAT, as well as the reporting. The CPSAT is comprehensive as it solicits input from officers, supervisors, command staff, civilian staff, and community partners to help agencies measure the extent to which their community policing has been implemented in various units and ranks within the agency. It's also quick for participants to complete and easy for the agency to administer. And then lastly, the administering the CPSAT provides immediate benefits to the agency's community policing initiatives. In addition to the valuable data provided in the agency reports, which based on agency feedback have been used to facilitate discussions with key departmental personnel, update community policing plans, as well as develop new community policing initiatives, the questions asked on the CPSAT of participants within the assessment can help respondents better understand the philosophy of community policing by identifying specific components of community policing that should be incorporated into their everyday police functions. And now I'd like to introduce two representatives from agencies that have already administered the CPSAT and are recipients of the Community Hiring Recovery Program grant. First, we'll have Chief Reynolds, who's the Chief of Police at Greer Police Department in South Carolina. They've been involved in two administrations, and they have a sworn staff size of 54 officers. So, Chief Reynolds.
Thank you, Daniel. Basically, let me put this in context for everybody. And also, what I'd like to do is give everybody my phone number in case you have any questions later on. Number here is 864-848-2162. And my email address is dreynolds@cityofgreer.org. And if you missed that, you can always go to our website. Just go to the City of Greer, South Carolina. I have approximately 40-plus years experience in policing. I came from the Savannah Metro Police Department there, spent 34 years with that department. The City of Greer is located in the upstate between Spartanburg and Greenville, right along Interstate 85. We have a metro airport located here, a railhead, and adjacent, again, to that major highway. And soon we'll have the South Carolina Inland Port, which is being constructed here and should be finished by October. Our city has adopted and promoted a goal of providing services beyond our clients' or our customers' expectations, which is pretty demanding. Our department, years ago, even before I came here, made a conscious decision to adopt community policing as its basic philosophy, focusing primarily on developing community partnerships and problem-solving. Problem-solving being the major strategy in developing any community policing program. And we are fortunate or thankful we had the opportunity to participate in this assessment. Really, we needed to know, just like any city, where we stood in the implementation of community policing. And the assessment tool really helped us to identify strengths and weaknesses in our program or in our efforts to implement the community policing. You know, we didn't have the staff, because of our size, as most departments, to develop and implement an instrument to do this. So we're very thankful to the ICS staff for what they did. I would also like to say that the staff will work with you and was very timely in their responses to our questions whenever we had questions about the survey. And the survey itself is very simple and easy to administer. It doesn't take much time. Some of the areas that we identified that needed to be improved based on the survey results, again, we got the baseline survey in 2012. We had some difficulty in trying to implement some of the improvements simply because we had a major reduction in our resources and staffing because of changes in the retirement program here. And however, this year we're making a major effort to improve. One, we found out that we needed to provide some more training and also for civilian staff and also allow them to participate in a lot of our COP and POP efforts. They were not being involved and did not understand the concepts, and we got that information by reviewing their responses to the survey. Additionally, we needed to update our training for our officers. We have a lot of new officers. About 20% of our patrol force are brand new, less than a year or 2 years of service, and have not been exposed to that kind of training. And it was obvious, based on the responses in the section survey, that we needed to do something there. We also understand that we're going to need to, again, based on some of the responses, focus adjust our evaluations or performance evaluations so they measure these officers' involvement in those areas and emphasize those areas. I would strongly suggest that anybody that's really serious about community policing, problem solving, and engaging that community, that you take these surveys. I mean, you got to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, as they say. If you're serious about it, you'll get involved in this survey. And I just want to thank the staff of ICS for all the help they've given assistance in this. I also want to make sure that most of you chiefs out there understand that all the results are confidential. They don't report it by agency. And all the results have been kept within this department for us to use to make improvements in our program. That's all I have, Daniel.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chief Reynolds. Next, we'll have Paul Paskoff, who's the Director of Research and Planning Division with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department in North Carolina. They were actually the pilot site for the CPSAT, so they've seen it kind of develop over the past couple years. They've administered the short form, which is the web version that's currently being administered. Once, and they have they're a little larger, significantly larger, but they have a sworn staff size of 1,900, and their sample, participant sample for the CPSAT was 1,200. So, Paul?
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm the research and planning director for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department and was selected to kind of lead the effort for our agency. And as just noted, as we have close to 1,900 officers, 520 non-sworn that are part of the organization. As you can tell from the name, we're a regional police department. In 1993, the Mecklenburg County Police Department merged with the City of Charlotte Police Department, obviously doing it the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police. And so we cover both the incorporated City of Charlotte and the unincorporated area of Mecklenburg County. And there are six smaller towns that have their individual police departments on the line of the size of what you just heard in South Carolina. For us, the survey was done electronically. Was fairly easy, very easy for us. We have through our systems, just through Outlook, the listing of all the officers, and it was a matter of sending out the survey that way. And then every week, I would go in and just remind everyone who hadn't finished it to please go in and complete it. And as you heard, we had a fairly good return on the results. And as the chief said, our experience was the same. Any questions I had were easily answered, and so it was no problem for us at all. The results kind of pointed us to what we kind of already intuitively had known. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department was one of the leaders in community-oriented policing, through Chief Nowicki and then Chief Stevens. But over the last some years, we've had to concentrate more on more directed patrol when crime started going up. But at the time, we started seeing that we needed to do more, again, into community policing. And the survey showed us, again, what we intuitively knew, that that we needed to do more. Now, that what that more has become is we have now, in fact, tomorrow is going to be our second class. It's a leadership development learning agency program that we've launched, and it's not only for us, but it's for seven other larger police agencies in North Carolina. And we're working with the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and there what we're doing is kind of doing a refresher course and then going really a deeper dive into problem solving. And it's aimed at our lieutenants and also lieutenants from these other agencies. For example, tomorrow when we start our class, our second class, we'll have 15 lieutenants from the CMPD, and we'll have lieutenants joining us from the Asheville Police Department, Raleigh Police Department, Wilmington, and Winston-Salem. And they will go through five separate sessions with the professor from UNC Charlotte to the point of where they're relearning what they had learned some years ago so that they can in turn start working with their sergeants and their officers to approach crime problems with problem-oriented policing, as we've always done, but we want that renewed emphasis, and that's what this survey showed us, confirmed for us. We needed to have that renewed emphasis.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
You're welcome.
Those, you know, you just heard from two representatives from agencies that have administered. As I mentioned, we've had over 50,000 participants. And I think each of them would provide, similar feedback on how valuable the CPSAT has been for their agency. So thanks again, Chief Reynolds and Paul, for volunteering your time to share your experiences on behalf of your agency. And now turn it over to our ICF CPSAT project manager, Rebecca Mulvin.
Thanks so much, Daniel. First of all, I just wanted to mention we just started hearing some background noise again, so I think that people might have just taken themselves off of mute. So if you could go ahead and put yourself back on mute, that'd be great.
We wanted to spend a few minutes today talking a little bit about some of the results that we're starting to see in this assessment. Obviously, the most important thing with this is you getting the results on your agency, but we are looking across agencies as well. If you look at the slide, you can see we've actually administered this at this point to over 450 agencies, and that's included over 50,000 individual participants. All right, next slide.
All right, thanks, Daniel. With the 50,000 participants, the largest group has been line officers. We've actually had 30,000 line officers participate at this point. We've also had almost 10,000 first-line supervisors, almost 3,000 command staff, 4,000 civilian staff, and over 4,000 community partners. I wanted to mention, actually go back for 1 second.
Sure.
I wanted to mention specifically with the community partners, this is an interesting one because it's not required of agencies to include community partners. This is an option. You can either send the link out or not. Of the agencies who have opted to send that link out, on average, they've included about 8 partners. And that's added up to actually over 4,000. Great, next slide. All right, just a little bit about the scores that we're starting to see. As you might expect across, you know, about 450 agencies, the scores tend to average out to about 3. And that's the case for community partnerships, problem solving, and or transformation. And we wanted to look a little bit at what some of the differences might be between agencies, you know, across agencies. One of the things we wanted to look at was size of agency. What you can see here is that actually the scores decrease slightly as agency size increases. Next slide. We also looked at this by size of population served. And what you see here is that, again, scores tend to decrease slightly as the agency population or size of population that they're serving increases. So in particular, you can see that agencies that serve less than 2,500 people tend to have slightly higher scores than those larger agencies. When you get above 2,500, the scores even out just a little bit. But there's a trend nonetheless. Right, next slide. We also looked at a geographic region. What we found is that agencies in the South and the Caribbean tended to have slightly higher scores than their counterparts in the Northeast, in the Midwest, in the West. Something to note about this is that, obviously, the Northeast and the West tend to have more urban areas, often larger agencies. So there may be something going on here with the urban areas. That's something that we're going to be looking at over the next few months. But for now, we do see a slight trend that folks in the South and the Caribbean tend to have slightly higher scores. All right, next. As I mentioned, we're really just getting started with these analyses. Some of the things that we're going to be looking at are things like how do sworn staff perceptions of partnerships align with their partner responses? Do supervisor attitudes drive implementation of community policing at the agency level? We also wanted to look at how do different components of the org transformation section predict scores on other survey sections. So org transformation is really the infrastructure of community policing. So we want to see if there are certain components of that that seem to really predict things like problem solving or partnerships. So we'll be taking a closer look at that as well down the road. And we're also looking at, are there other agency characteristics that affect CPSAT scores? So, you know, of course, we mentioned geographic region and size today, but there may be other agency characteristics as well that may make a difference here. So, you know, again, the main point of all of this is so that you can measure your own community policing, but we thought you might be interested in just seeing a little bit of what we are seeing across agencies. And, you know, we'll be keeping you posted on with the results that we find. So stay posted. All right.
If I end up having to call that number getting through, but...
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. The next steps to administer the CPSAT, as I mentioned a little earlier, our next administration period will begin on August 20th, 2013, so a little less than a month away. If you're interested, if your agency is interested in joining this administration period and taking advantage of this valuable resource, you first need to identify a key contact, and that person then needs to email or call the CPSAT hotline, either via email or the telephone number provided there to register. The second step and only other step then is finalizing the survey invitation and reminder emails with compiling an email list of all the participants who should receive those emails on these specified dates. As a reminder, just to reiterate, we have a great ICF CPSAT administration team that is available and will be doing everything to support you. Now we'd like to open it up for questions. If you want to unmute your phones now, is the appropriate time so that we can hear you.
Hi, this is Detective Crawford from the City of Opa-locka Police Department in Miami-Dade County, Florida.
Hi.
My question is, all right, I'm not sure if we will be ready to do the one on the 20th. When do you have a projected date for the one after August 20th?
We don't have a solidified date for any future administrations after the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
But we will certainly keep agencies posted once those dates are determined. But we are flexible and able to, accommodate agencies based on a convenient date for them. It just, as I think it's pretty clear, it makes a lot more sense to administer in these waves that we have designated so that all agencies are in the same process and stage during the administration.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No problem.
Any other questions?
Will you be sending out the PDFs that you said that you have referenced the questions to everybody, or do we have to individually ask?
The PDFs of the CPSAT?
Yeah.
They are available upon request. So if that's something you're interested in seeing, please just follow up with the CPSAT hotline, and we'll get that to you right away.
Okay.
This is Rob Chapman from COPS again. We also have a bunch of materials and resources and information and FAQs up on our website, all focused on the CPSAT for CHIRP grantees. So if you visit our website, it's www.cops.usdoj.gov, and under funding, just go to CHIRP, and you'll see a page that's devoted to the CPSAT for CHIRP grantees.
Thanks, Rob. That link that he just mentioned is also the bottom link on this slide. So when we email all the attendees the slide deck, you'll have access to that link as well, so you don't need to go searching for it. Other questions before we move on and conclude the presentation?
This is Dwight Neal from Dillard University, New Orleans.
Hi, and did you have a question?
Yes. I'm interested in, you said there were 85 questions for command staff.
Yes, sir.
All right, and where will we get those questions?
When will you get those?
Where?
If you could just follow up with our CPSAT hotline and just make, put in that request to receive the PDF copy of the CPSAT, we'll send it over to you right away.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yes. If the chief from Greer Police Department is still on, real quick, if he could give his phone number again, please. I think I wrote it down wrong. 864-848-2162.
That's correct. It's 864-848-2162.
Thank you.
And with that, Chief Reynolds and Paul, if I could provide your contact information in the email that will be provided with the presentation. Is that okay?
So Dan, yeah, that'll be fine, Daniel.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Well, I think those were some great questions. If any questions do come up, you know, after we conclude the presentation, you know, as I said, we are available to support, and you know, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. We are very responsive, so any questions that come up later on, feel free to contact the CPSAT hotline via phone or email. So then I just wanted to make sure you had our contact information to allow any follow-up with us with questions regarding the CPSAT. As I mentioned, we will be providing you with a copy of this presentation, and an audio recording of the webinar should be available to access on the COPS website soon. I again want to thank the COPS office for its commitment to community policing, Chief Reynolds and Paul Paskoff for volunteering their time to speak on behalf of their respective agencies, CPSAT administrations, and all of you guys for attending and taking time out of your busy schedules to join us this afternoon. I hope you found this webinar to be valuable use of your time, and that your agency sees the value in this great resource that the COPS office has made available to your agency for free. As a reminder, our next CPSAT administration period is scheduled to begin on August 20th, so please contact our CPSAT hotline to take advantage of this opportunity by registering your agency to participate. And that concludes our presentation. I hope everyone has a wonderful afternoon, and thanks again for joining us.